I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Trevor Lawrence went from liking pro football, he loves it. And it's really fun to see. And man, if Buffalo can get by this, Kate, this might be the hardest test they could have in the playoffs. I really believe that. Jacksonville, big, powerful, tough, hard-coached against a team that really relies a little more on speed, smaller, everything like that. So it's really an interesting game. But I'm just going to go there and say if I had to pick a winner, I'm taking Jacksonville.
All right, put it on the board, baby. Put it on the board. Put it on the bulletin board. There it is, Chris Sims and his pick. Was that Chris Sims or was it Phil? Was that Phil? It sounded like Phil. Okay, thank you. I thought so. I thought when you said Phil and then my brain went to Chris, but it sounded like Phil. Okay, there you go. Chris, of course, is the son of Phil. But anyway, put it on the bulletin board. There you go. Phil Sims picking the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Buffalo Bills. I do agree, though. It's a tough matchup. It's a 1-point spread. And if the Bills do win this game, I think I could find my way to saying, okay, the other team they play next week, Denver, Houston, Pittsburgh. I know Houston, going to Houston would be a tough matchup for them. But you could find your way to different ways you like it better for different reasons than this one. But you got to go take care of business first. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in a moment on the Sabres. We'll get to Sean McDermott on the injury front on a Friday. And then we're going to get to Pat Hammer at the bottom of the hour on Jacksonville weather. But first, let's go out to Derek, who's been waiting from Boston. Hi, Derek.
Sal, how are you? Always a pleasure listening to you. I definitely feel like taking care of business this week would be big. The one thing that I did like about Brian Daboll was when we did come to the playoffs, I always felt like there was a wrinkle in that offense, some sort of different plays that we hadn't seen that all of us were like, whoa, where'd that come from? But I just don't want it to – we can't take another heartbreaker. We've had so many heartbreakers. You know, you feel the same way. We just can't take another heartbreaker. I know they have such a great kicker. I'd hate to see the last possession. All they need is 20 yards, and this guy kicks his crazy kick. But hopefully not. Go Bills. And I also just wanted to share, last week, my wife and I and our little guy and our two moms, we actually went up to Buffalo for the last game, and I'm so glad I did that. I know the game didn't mean much, but my wife was like, you should go because you're going to regret not going. And it was unbelievable. Honestly, it was such a good time. We had a great tailgate. Great experience. Just wanted to share that. And go Bills. Let's make this the year.
You got it. Yeah, Derek, great story. Glad you shared that. I'm glad you got to go to the game. Really cool. We'll see if Joe Brady has anything up his sleeve. Joe Brady, by the way, news this morning, the Ravens have reportedly requested an interview with Joe Brady for their head coach position. Let's go to Gino up next. Hi, Gino.
Phil, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
But I feel confident about this week. But the reason I'm calling is, you know, the last 20 years, the Patriots and the Chiefs have killed teams with their tight end and slot receivers. You know, Brady did it with Edelman and Gronk. Mahomes did it with Kelce. You know, we have Kincaid, Knox, Shakir. And I feel like we just don't use them to their ability all the time. I feel like this weekend, if we can just, you know, bang those 5-6 yard passes, and then I think that's the way we're going to win the game.
Yeah, well, listen, I like that a lot because there are some numbers that show that the Jags defense is good, but tight ends, middle of the field is where they've kind of had some issues this year at times. Dalton Kincaid's been big for the Bills this year, there's no doubt as well. And I like the fact, I never told you earlier what I liked about Josh. Josh said he did self-scouting over the week that he was off. Joe Brady said, you're not playing, do some self-scouting. And the way he said, he's like, man, I look and go, I stink or something like that, because he was missing so many guys and didn't take the free checkdowns and didn't take the easy money. And I think you might see a little bit more of that this week. And I like that. I like that he's thinking that way, because playoff football, you got to take what's given to you sometimes. You can't make that mistake. And that's the challenge in front of the Bills. Paul Hamilton joins us right now here on the Western Hotline, just off a plane and a flight from New York City where the Sabres beat the New York Rangers last night. And the Sabres continue on a roll. They are now in a playoff position. Paul, another really, really solid night last night for the Buffalo Sabres, from penalty kill and shorthanded goals to goaltending, blocking shots. It's really starting to feel like it's coming together like an actual good hockey team, if I can say that.
You know what I think is to like about the game, believe it or not, is the third period. And you might say, well, it didn't go real well in the third period as far as, you know, the Rangers really came on and really poured it on. They score 51 seconds into the period to make it 3-2. Next thing you know, the shots are 11-0, and the Sabres can't get out of their end. But I think the reason I like it is because you saw a lot of adversity. This team has never handled adversity very well until now. And, all right, you have the adversity, and Colton Ellis said himself he'd want that goal back that he gave up 51 seconds into the period. So you give up a goal like that. Now it's 3-2. Now the Rangers are all over you. They're throwing the kitchen sink at you. And, you know, your goaltender's hanging in there. You're hanging in there, though. It's still 3-2. You know, so you face that adversity. Then you take that penalty. The Sabres just can't seem to get out of their game late in the third period. Peyton Krebs, a double minor for high sticking. There's a little over 5 minutes left to go in regulation. Now there's more adversity that you're going to have to face. You're basically going to have to kill penalties the rest of the period with a one-goal lead. Well, that only took, what, about 20 seconds or so to alleviate that problem, because the Sabres come down. They score that shorthanded goal. What a shot that was by Samuelson, getting it by the ear hole of Jonathan Quick's face mask and under the crossbar for a goal. He looked like he was in too far, but obviously he wasn't. And now you've got a 4-2 lead. Again, you have faced down adversity. You know, that was there for you, and you easily could have lost that game. And you know what, Sal? I bet last year they would have lost that game 9 out of 10 times.
And maybe the Vancouver game, too, by the way. Maybe the Vancouver game, the way things started going in the third period.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So they seem now to be able to handle adversity and kind of just look it in the eye and say, okay. And they found a way to leave that arena with 2 points and a victory when it looked like the Rangers were starting to take over the game. The first 40 minutes, Sabres did real well. I thought Ellis looked great. I thought, they got on the board first in the first period. And took the 2-0 lead. Once they got the lead, which was like 4 minutes into the game, they never relinquished the lead. They held it throughout. And I think we're seeing a maturity of this team, that it has grown up, because there was a lot of, you know, hand-wringing after that Columbus game. How can you lose to the Blue Jackets? This is, you know, it's like, well, yeah, they just did win 10 in a row, you know.
Yeah, I know.
They're
right?
Not going to win 50 in a row. But to me, that Columbus game, and I said it then, really didn't mean a whole lot. You know what's going to mean something is the next game. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? How are you going to respond to this loss? All right, you had a bad day. How are you going to respond to that? Well, they responded with 2 wins. You know, they go out and beat Vancouver. They go into New York and beat the New York Rangers. To me, that's the response you need. That's what winning teams do. Every team's going to have a bad game, except maybe Colorado. But every team is going to have a bad game. It's how you respond to that bad game. And, you know, I'm rather impressed that you responded by 2 victories.
Paul, what has been the secret for Matias Samuelson to be unlocked this year like this?
Sometimes it takes defensemen longer, and that's why I caution people with Owen Power. Although I think Owen Power has actually played better in the last X amount of games, however many you want to say. Everybody wants to give up on guys too early. And Samuelson was one. People wanted to buy him out. And it's like, well, that's a bad idea. If you bought him out before this season, he's on your books for 10 years. Bad idea. You know, even if, if he doesn't improve or whatever. But I think, I hate to say it, maybe the best thing to happen to him was when Thompson got hit and there was no response. Mm. I mean, I wondered if he could even come back from that in the locker room for that happening. And he has more than come back from it. Yeah. You know, and look at the way that the toughness he plays with, something that Lindy Ruff, ever since he's gotten here, has tried to convince him. Use your size. Use your strength. I don't care if you fight. That's not what we're talking about here. And he has been much more physical this year on top of the good play, on top of adding offense to what is good defense, killing plays and those types of things. So he just seems to be brimming with confidence. But, you know, just the fact that he's willing to use his size, willing to knock people down, and you don't have to drill people through the back wall. But if you use your size and strength, you can win a lot more battles, and I think he's doing that.
Jason Zucker returns to the lineup. How important is he to this team? They win a couple of games. Of course, they had the 10-game winning streak. He wasn't really on the team, on the ice for any of that. But how important is he? We saw the goal last night as well.
Yeah, he missed 10 games and they won them all.
I know.
He's like, okay, I guess you don't need me. But look at the power play. The power play hadn't scored in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's where he's supposed to be. And you know in sports how you got to make your own breaks, because you say to yourself, how come the other team always gets these breaks in front of the net, but the Sabres never get those garbage goals or whatever? Well, that's because winning teams know how to be around the net. And in order to get a break to go in off a skate or whatever, you got to be there. You can't be on the perimeter. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer in you make your breaks. Well, the goal went in off his back. Great. That's a lucky goal. I understand that. But it doesn't go in off his back if he's not where he's supposed to be. If he's on the perimeter or someplace else other than in front of the net when Darlene winds up with that shot, the shot doesn't come back, hit him in the back, and go in the net. So that's what I talk about when I think good teams make their own breaks, because they're where they're supposed to be. And if you're where you're supposed to be, then pucks might go in off a leg, or they might go in off a skate, or they might go in off your back. Or, you know, things like that. And Jason Zucker is the epitome of that. He knows where he's supposed to be on the power play. And a power play that hadn't scored in 8 games, his second game back, guess who gets the power play goal? Jason Zucker.
The Sabres also really doing a great job at killing penalties. Number 2 in the league this year, Paul. They get, obviously, a nice goal last night from Ryan McLeod. Alex Tuch, one of the best penalty killers in the league. How about that aspect of the game, and what's been the difference this year?
Those two are so good as a pair. It reminds the older folks in the audience of Don Luce and Craig Ramsey,
the pair
that they were back in the 70s when they were up for the Selke. And they were just – I don't know if the Sabres have seen a pair like that since those two. And McLeod and Tuch definitely qualify for that. And just the epitome of McLeod. We don't sit here and talk about empty net goals. That was – desire and the willingness to win.
Put that on a film and go show every young hockey player.
He missed the net.
Yep.
But what did he do? He turned the Jets on like he was shot out of a cannon, because he wanted to win that hockey game.
Yep.
He wanted it more than the Rangers, who actually were ahead of him if they would have just hustled a little bit. He just took off, hustled, got to the puck first, and got the easy empty net goal. That's a guy who wants to win hockey games, right there.
Love it.
You know, and that's the kind of effort we're seeing from this team right now.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, let's get to a couple injury updates. I think Lyon and Kesselring are the only ones I have here that I know that are on IR right now. And then there's the Kulik update that Lindy Ruff gave. So if you can run through those.
Yeah, Kulik really is not on the ice or anything. And when you're dealing with blood clots, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I think they got to dissolve, and you just don't know when that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't really do a whole lot physically, and still isn't.
He's still hoping, I guess, that they play, but there's no real clarity on that yet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're hoping to get him back by the end of the year, but you just don't know. Alex Lyon, Lindy said before they left for New York, 7 to 10 days, so I guess that would be 5 to 8 days right now, because that was 2 days ago. So, you know, he's getting there. And Kesselring, he was hoping to get him on the ice. Now they're off today, but he could still be down at the arena getting on the ice. But they were hoping to get him on the ice by the end of the week. So we'll see. I doubt very much, since he hasn't been in a practice, that he would play tomorrow. But you may see him in the morning skate tomorrow. You know, we'll have to wait and see. So, and of course, as you know, Danforth had the broken kneecap that he got 4 games into the season. So, I have no idea. I'm not used to broken kneecaps when I'm talking about injury, so I have no idea how long that takes.
And tomorrow night should be fun at the arena with the Bills playing the next day. The Ducks are in town, a team that, you know, it's a team that you can have, very beatable team, I guess you'd say. They're having a decent season, but, you know, it's going to be really energetic in the arena on a Saturday night. Before I get to Sean McDermott and I let go of you, Paul, here, didn't get a chance to ask you, excuse me, last week about your memories inside Highmark Stadium. If you have one you want to share, maybe your first game, maybe a game over the years where you covered a Bills game or something like that.
You know what it is for me? It was the very first Winter Classic.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
Where I'm down on the next to the glass was we're broadcasting. I just wish I would have seen more Sabre goals. If they lose 5-4, that would have been great. I think the fans, but they only had one goal, but the sound. And you know this because you're down there.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
But this is something that I didn't realize, the sound that comes down when they scored that goal was just amazing. It was an amazing experience. Probably the best thing that I've done in my career is to cover the Winter Classic down there. And I've also talked about a lot of concerts that I've seen down there when I was younger. The Stones, The Who, Peter Frampton, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, we can always all talk about the Bills, and there's plenty of ones I remember them. Even one that people don't talk about. I remember the Hail Mary to Roland Hooks against the New England Patriots was a memory. You know, I remember Ahmad Rashad back when I was a kid in junior high school. On Monday Night Football, catching a slant to win a game, you know, when I'm thinking maybe it might have been the first Monday Night game. I'm not sure, but still, you know, it's you know, something like that. So I kind of went deeper in the memory bank because, of course, the comeback against the Oilers, we all know that.
Right.
But I was trying to go deeper in the memory bank.
And how about this? Let me ask you this: what about your first playoff game? Remember, mine is the 81 wild card at Shea. Bill Simpson, the interception. What's your first Bills playoff memory?
Oh, I would go back to the Steelers in the 70s. As I said, I was back junior high school, maybe grade school back then.
Yeah.
You know, so even you know when. Some of the earlier ones. Now, I didn't go back to War Memorial Stadium in those games. But O.J. Simpson, of course, I remember O.J. Simpson. So anything past that would have been, you know, I didn't get to go to a lot of games, maybe one a year sometimes, maybe not. But I wasn't in the stadium a lot early on in life. But as it went on, and then the last time I was at a Bills game in the stands, I would have been in college. I kind of figured that out. I was sitting there for a concert going, when was the last time I was in these stands? And I thought, it was college, the last time I was in the stands for a Bills game at home.
Real quick, Paul, I did forget. I want to ask you real quick. Some buzz yesterday about the Sabres possibly in discussions or part of the mix to host the 2026 draft. Is that right?
Yeah, the Sabres weren't commenting on that, but I have talked to some people about that. And what John Butchergrass was reporting is correct. They're trying to get it. Now, it's not the draft that everybody's thinking, you know, where all the teams are there, and
right,
the tables and all that. It would be like what it was last year, where the players are there.
Okay.
But the teams are still, like the Sabres are still probably be at the stadium. So the players were there, and they'd come up on stage and shake Gary Bettman's hands. And then they did those awkward Zooms with the teams after that.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be – that's what it would be. Is because that was in Los Angeles where the players were. So the players would be around and be introduced and go up on stage and get their jersey, but the teams would not be there.
The decentralized draft, that's right. Okay, Paul, we're going to let you go. Sean McDermott's going to come up here shortly on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Have a great weekend tomorrow night.
You
Sabres,
too.
Ducks, 7 o'clock, and Paul will be all over it at PHAM1717 on X. Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy Jacksonville.
All right, thank you very much. Paul Hamilton right there, and it is a Buffalo Football Friday, so we're going to talk more football again. We had to squeeze in the Sabres, though. They won 10 in a row. They lose a game. They win two more. So what? They won 12 out of the last 13, and they're in a playoff spot right now. They got a game tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks at home 18 hours before the Bills kick off in Jacksonville against the Jaguars on Sunday. And of course, this is a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. We will take a timeout quickly here, and when we come back, we'll have Bills head coach Sean McDermott give us the Friday injury report and game status of any players who aren't going to play Sunday in their wild card matchup in Jacksonville.
Joe kind of had me self-scout myself throughout the year this last week, and I came away, God, there's so much out there that I've missed, right? Whether it's getting a little lazy with my feet and not taking a check down and maybe instead trying to force something downfield, or throwing the ball away, not taking sacks and allowing us to be in field goal range. And there's still so much room to improve. And I think I just have this extra emphasis, like I said, on points are at a premium in the playoffs and just trying to do everything I can to give us points.
Yeah, that's the quote I was talking about earlier. I really like that from Josh Allen. I think that's very self-reflective. You know, we see it, right? We're like, why did Josh run around back there like that and take that sack? Just throw it away. And, you know, sometimes these guys are so caught up in each game and game planning. Yes, they go back and review film, but they're not digging into the details as much in the past game as they might be looking ahead to the next game. And last week, he was able to kind of take a mental break away from game planning because he knew he wasn't actually going to play very much. He took the one snap and was able to self-reflect and self-scout. And I love what I hear there, which is, yeah, sometimes trying to push the ball down the field a little too much when I should just take the check down. Sometimes not throwing the ball away, and I took a sack. Takes us out of field goal range. I think you'll see a different Josh Allen this week in that regard. I do, because I think Josh has always been really good at that sort of thing, which is kind of correcting and fixing when things like that happen. Bills, Jags, Sunday at 1 p.m. Pat Hammer will tell us the weather for those of you traveling down. Maybe you're down there already somewhere in the southeast. You're going to the game. And we'll also take a look around the NFL and other games going on. But first, let's get to Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
And we welcome in Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. Sean, good morning. Welcome to a Buffalo Football Playoff Friday here on WGR.
Good morning, Sal. Great to be with you guys and looking forward to our weekend here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's just reflect on last week a little bit, Coach. Last game at Highmark Stadium. How cool and special was everything from really the send-off of the stadium, the big win, obviously, for your team, and what happened kind of afterwards with everybody sticking around and enjoying the festivities?
Oh, man, once-in-a-lifetime situation, once-in-a-lifetime experience. Couldn't have asked for a better night, you know, just with the environment, the fans, the outcome of the game, and then just, you know, to watch the people hang around, like you said, and sharing the experience, sharing the moment together, just kind of freeze time for a little bit there. Truly special.
And then your team wins the game, and you got to sit around on Sunday night and kind of watch what's happening with the rushing title with James Cook, and everybody wants it for him, for the organization. It's a big deal. What was that like for you guys on Sunday, whether it's just at you as a coach or with your coaches and texting people or other people, and then, of course, with James himself and knowing he ultimately gets the rushing title?
Yeah, great situation. You know, it got a little bit close there, especially in the first half when Derrick Henry had the – had 100-plus yards. But, you know, overall, hey, man, you got to do what's best for the team. We tried to do that. And also then James, secondly, and, you know, it worked out. So we were able to get him fresh, but also help him get the rushing title. So we're extremely proud of him, and it's great for the organization as well.
And then you had another title yardage winner this year, and that is Ray Davis. He actually wound up leading the league in average yards per kick return, the only player in the whole league over 30 yards a kick return. I don't think a lot of us saw this coming, Coach. How has Ray kind of been unlocked as a kick returner this year?
Well, I give him credit, but also, you know, the whole unit that he's working with, you know, the kickoff return unit and the blocks and the schemes that Coach Tabor and Coach West have put together. You know, it's as you know as well as I do, it's a new play in the league this year, and so there's been a lot of growth and a lot of evolving going on with that. with that play in itself. So extremely proud of Ray, extremely proud of the coaching staff and what they've done with it.
And then, obviously, you get to this week. You're preparing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know who you're playing. You get there on Monday to start preparations. I know everybody says the same thing. You got to kind of stay with your routine, like Greg Rousseau said. You can't really focus on something different or do something different. But that being said, how do you kind of treat it with players to make sure that doesn't happen? Because everybody knows that if you win, you go on. If you lose, your season's over. So how do you make sure that you don't make it maybe bigger than it is, but keep everything the same, knowing what the stakes are?
Well, I think that's the obvious. You know, people know what the stakes are. The best thing we can do is be consistent in terms of the players and their routines, our routines, but also not shortchange the process, right? It is a game where we have to win in order to advance, and we've got to play a good, solid football game on all three phases here.
All right, Coach, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Of course, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. You have a lengthy report. A few guys you got back, a couple guys you got back to practice yesterday, but got a couple guys still who have not practiced this week. Is there anybody you know you're declaring out who will not play on Sunday?
At this point, Max Harrison will be out. DeMar Hamlin will be out. As you know, we just opened up DeMar's window coming off of IR, so he won't be ready to come back this week. We'll monitor that as we move forward here.
Okay, you have a few other guys.
And then I would just add Terrell Bernard as well. Sorry.
Oh, so that's okay. So Terrell Bernard is out for the game as well, Coach?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple other guys. You had one other, Ty Johnson, who has not practiced for a couple of days. What's his status for today and maybe the game?
Yeah, we're going to look at him today, take a hard look at him today, see how he does, and we'll know more after practice.
Same situation with Joshua Palmer, 2 days of a DNP?
He will not practice today. We'll see where he goes for the game. He'll be listed as questionable for the game.
Okay, and then what about Matt Prater, Coach? How did you feel that, you know, he came out of yesterday? He was a full participant, but obviously he's been dealing with the quad injury. Where does his status stand right now?
He will not practice either today, which is not, you know, unusual for a kicker. Mm-hmm. Thought he did some good things yesterday, and we'll see where he and how he trends heading into the weekend here.
Do you, I mean, I don't want to go too far into strategy. I understand all that, but you obviously have to make some decisions by maybe 4 p.m. tomorrow. Is that all the things that you're balancing right now on your plate when it comes to Prater and the elevations and the roster and all that, how that's got to work basically this weekend?
Yeah, there's multiple things right now we're trying to balance, and, you know, we've dealt with a lot of injuries most of the year, so really nothing new, to be honest with you, in terms of having to balance some of those things through the weekend and kind of some last-minute decisions here. But we're on top of it. Players are, putting money in the bank this week or this practice today, and mm-hmm. as we prepare to get ourselves ready to go down there.
Speaking of balancing, Coach, there's a report this morning that Joe Brady is a candidate to be interviewed by the Baltimore Ravens, or at least permission has been requested for their head coaching job. And you've been down this road before. You yourself were in this situation. We've asked you over the years when you have a coach in that situation, how do you approach it as a head coach? What's your messaging to either that particular coach or how you treat the week?
Well, you're happy for them. There's only so many opportunities out there, and we've had success on the offensive side, and Joe's been a big proponent and reason why. And, you just look at it, and so you're happy when someone gets acknowledged for the job that they've done, and you want the best for him and his family. All that being said, you know, we try and make it very clear that our focus needs to be with this team and this situation and the moments we're in this weekend here. So Joe's done a great job of that in the last couple of years since he's been interviewing, and we expect the same moving forward.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Sunday at 1 p.m., Coach. A team that you've played each of the last 2 years, but much different, really. A new head coach, a new coaching staff, basically, and the way they're playing right now, arguably playing some of the best football in the National Football League. What do you see from them, especially maybe over the last 2 months, 8 weeks?
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, they made the trade for Newsom, the corner. They made a trade for Jacoby Myers, and it's paid off for them. I believe they're 6-7, maybe 7-1 since the trade. And Myers and Newsom have had, you know, huge impacts on their team, and they're definitely a team that's in rhythm right now, and we're going to have to play a really good and sound football game to beat them.
And then, of course, it's in Jacksonville, and we know the last time you were down there in 17, lots of Bills Mafia showed up. When you go to Carolina, Atlanta, the Southeast, of course, everywhere, Bills fans show up. But how cool is it to know that you're going to have a very big contingent of Bills fans on hand? I know that for sure, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's always great to know. We've got great support, unlike any team in my mind and professional sports overall. So we're very thankful for that and look forward to seeing them down there.
All right, Coach, have a good practice today. Safe travels to Jacksonville, and we'll talk to you next week before your next playoff game on Friday. So thanks a lot.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. They have a lot of decisions to make on the roster. They have to start balancing what to do with the Matt Prater situation, Matthew Wright. They have to start balancing what to do with Ty Johnson as of today, the practice today. I like what he said. Get money in the bank today at practice. Find out what happens today. Then they can go from there, right? Then we can see exactly who's going to be available, who's not. We do know Max Harrison is out. Damar Hamlin is out. He isn't on the active roster anyway, but you have to declare him because he's got his IR window opened. And Terrell Bernard is out. That means that Shaq Thompson, who's been limited with the neck injury, will start again at middle linebacker. No surprise there. But that also tells you that maybe they might have to use one of those elevations on either Keontae Jenkins or Bealen Specter. So we'll see where that goes. That is the injury report headed into Jacksonville. And as I said, hopefully we get another one next Friday as the Bills will either play, either, we know this, if they win, they'll play either at Denver or at the winner of Steelers-Texans. That's how it's got to work. They cannot play the Patriots. They cannot play the Chargers. Those are the two other teams. Bills can't play either of those teams in round 2. You hope they're playing in round 2. We'll see where it goes. Let's get to our weather check for all those Bills fans going down to Jacksonville and you watching at home, of course, wondering, you know what? Is weather going to play a role in this game? Our guy Pat Hammer has the answer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Bills at Jags Sunday at 1 p.m. Now, listen, selfishly, I'm sure you know this. When I'm looking at all the possibilities, yeah, I'm thinking of matchups for the Bills. I'm also thinking about weather and how nice it would be to get to Florida in January for a game like this. And this is what it is, right? It's way different. What did we say last week? Denver versus New England versus Pittsburgh all have different weather. Well, this was the best case scenario weather-wise, I would guess, Pat.
Yeah, weather-wise, 100%. Now, when you get there, by the way, it's going to be, you know, postcard Florida weather in terms of temperature. It's, you know, like 80s up until, of course, Sunday when temperatures come down. I do have my eyes, though, if we move forward. Let me change that. We are going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If the game is in Denver, I can't recall the last time the Bills have played there, but it's a totally different animal because they're 5,000 feet up, you know, and the altitude does have an impact.
Yeah, and obviously it's something you have to prepare for, and it could be at any time of the year. You could get a snowstorm there, it seems like, because it's so high up.
Totally,
it always seems like,
right?
I mean, it just seems like that with that. Next week, obviously, if the Bills do advance, you could have another really kind of difference. It could go to Houston. It's a dome, right? But it's Houston, and fans could go there.
Right.
Or you could go to Pittsburgh, right? I mean, which could be a way totally different scenario. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next week, and we'll think about, you know, that. But hopefully you're right. In the meantime, Jacksonville, 80 degrees when we land on Saturday. You said the temperature's going to drop. What are we looking at game time and through the game Sunday starting at 1 p.m.?
All right, so starting, first of all, the day is going to be fine weather-wise. It's going to be a little cloudy. There is a slim chance of a little shower. The front, by the way, that's bringing us the rain today and the 60-mile-an-hour winds we're about to have, by the way, that same front is going to cross through Jacksonville on Saturday night into Sunday morning. By the time it's there, it's going to be nothing like it is here, but there is a slim chance of a little shower. But it's that front that's going to bring temperatures down. 80s today when you land tomorrow. Game time temperature, probably around 67, 68 degrees. A lot of cloud cover, but that's fine. And the temperature kind of holding steady. That same front will kick up a bit of a breeze. Okay, there's going to be a northwest wind. I'm not really sure how wind swirls at that stadium. You probably know better than I do. But a little bit of a northwest wind between 15 and 20 miles an hour. during the game. So that's the one thing, you know, we're kind of eyeing. Otherwise, it looks like just ideal weather temperature-wise and no sun glare, no shadows to worry about, right? With the clouds. That was a thing. What game was it recently? Was it Cleveland?
Cleveland, right? In Cleveland. And there was a pass where Dawson Knox dropped the pass, but that wasn't the reason. Yes. But people thought it might have been because you're right. The glare was really bad in that game, and there were some plays right there where that might have been something that impacted it. There are a lot of people flying down today to Jacksonville, and here in Buffalo, we know we have a wind advisory. What's going on here in Buffalo? How might it at all impact any travel for anyone?
Okay, first of all, it's now a high wind warning, okay?
And it
begins at 1 o'clock. And that's okay. It was upgraded this morning because the wind is expected to gust to near 60, maybe even 65 miles an hour. Okay. Now, does that mean at your house or at your office, you're going to see wind like that? It's pretty, you know, if you're protected by trees, you may not experience that kind of strong wind, but many areas will. And it could cause some flight delays this afternoon and tonight. The strongest winds, it's going to be kind of a narrow window between about 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. The wind is going to be maybe a little less than it was a week ago. If you remember, we had that windstorm when winds were hurricane force. This is the windiest place on earth sometimes, I feel. the wind is really going to begin picking up again later today. So flight delays are possible. Having said that, in about an hour or two, you may see the sun and go, oh, the storm has passed. It's the sun, believe it or not, that's going to help bring that wind here. It's a long story, but I'll explain that later. But we will have a very windy afternoon and evening.
What about into next week? We have the wind today here. Hopefully a win. You have wind here with a D today. And then you have the win on Sunday in Jacksonville. And then what are we looking at as January rolls on here in Western New York?
I want to quickly just mention one thing. If you are traveling to Jacksonville today and you are flying, you've got that. If you are driving, it's pretty much going to rain the entire way.
Okay.
And I mean that because the rain extends from here all the way to New Orleans. Okay. That front is moving east slowly. So if you were to leave, let's say this afternoon or tonight, doesn't mean, you know, it might slow you down a bit, but it's going to be a very rainy drive, like across 10 states on your way down.
Okay, good.
In terms of next week, okay, so tomorrow we have another day of rain, unfortunately. Rain in January to me is just a bummer, but it can happen. We're going to see that in the afternoon. So wet weather tomorrow afternoon. Sunday, the cold comes back, snow showers. When you land at the airport Sunday night, Sal, with a victory, I hope. It might be snowing. It's certainly going to be cold, so prepare for that when you land on Sunday afternoon and evening. And then next week, it starts off kind of typical January 30s, but a deep plunge into winter weather is going to return Thursday, Friday, and into next week, which means next weekend, rather, if there is a game. You said there's a possibility of Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That could be a weather game. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I like that. I'll also tell you this, because I just understand generally how the NFL runs its schedule and how they do these things with teams and, you know, the days in between games. I would say this: if the Bills win and they go to Denver, I think that game will be Saturday in Denver. If the Bills win and they have to go to Houston or Pittsburgh, I think that game will be Sunday.
Okay. I will say this, just looking ahead to Denver, it's been an incredibly warm winter out there, by the way. It's barely snowed, just a little bit. It certainly looks a lot colder for a weekend game next weekend in Denver. Pittsburgh, though, potentially looks snowy a week from if the game was... especially if the game were to be on Sunday next week.
I can't imagine.
It's way out there, but
I can't imagine the NFL would make Pittsburgh, if they were to win, play Monday to Saturday. So almost definitely, if they win, they're going to play Sunday. You know what I mean? That's what would happen.
Right.
So that's why that game would most likely be on a Sunday. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of changes obviously going on. Here's a question for you I want to ask: What is the weather here this Sunday at 1 p.m.? Let's just say the Bills had actually gotten a home game here in Jacksonville. It was reversed, right? Because I go on Jacksonville radio, and I got some buddies down in Jacksonville are like, man, I'm so glad the game's here and not in Buffalo. We didn't want to go up to Buffalo in January. I'm like, you know what? What if that were the case? What would be the weather?
We did a thing with our sister station in Jacksonville, television-wise, and they kind of asked the same thing.
Yeah.
By the way, the way they were talking, it's like they were even talking about how Bill's Mafia is expected to take over the stadium. It's just funny how they said that. But anyway,
100%. I spoke with somebody on Jacksonville radio this week who said they're expecting, as of right now, the people he talked to is expecting at least 15,000 to 20,000 Bills fans. I think it could be more than that.
Yeah, the television station there said the same thing. Yep. Anyway, if the game were to have been here, likely would have been some snow showers. Nothing too terribly heavy. But on Sunday at 1 o'clock, probably about 34 degrees, 33 degrees, and a pretty good chance of snow. Not a snow game like a couple years ago, but snow would have been falling. So maybe it would have been like the game against San Francisco last year.
All right. Thank you very much, buddy. I look forward to next Friday. We're going to do another Buffalo Football Friday with a weather check next week.
Yes, we are. And we're talking Denver or Pittsburgh, like you said.
Or Houston.
Or Houston. Okay, so two out of three could offer some weather challenges for sure. But, weather looks pretty good, though, for this Sunday.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it, all right? We'll talk next week.
All right, good travels, Sal.
Thank you very much. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Okay. A couple other things that Sean McDermott is talking about with the rest of the local media when he's done on the Extra Point Show. He meets with the rest of the media every Friday. Got a couple of notes we'll get to, including on Dalton Kincaid, Shaq Thompson, what he said about them. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and touch on the rest of the wildcard weekend schedule.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Okay, folks, we got you covered all weekend long. Tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN, it is Rams at Panthers, and then night game, also on WBEN, Packers at Bears. After the Bills game here on WGR on the Bills Radio Network Sunday, BEN will also have 49ers at Eagles at 4:30 p.m. Back here on WGR, 8 p.m. Sunday night, Chargers at Patriots, and then Monday night on the Bet 1520, it's going to be Texans at Steelers. In the meantime, Rams, Panthers, get you kicked off tomorrow. It ends with Texans Steelers. The Bills will take on the Jaguars, and all your pregame coverage all morning long on WGR Sports Radio 550 and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And of course, it all starts Saturday with the Sabres taking on the Anaheim Ducks. That'll be at KeyBank Center downtown, 7 p.m., 6 p.m. pregame. Sean McDermott, meeting with the local media, says he does not anticipate Dalton Kincaid having any injury designation for this game. As long as today goes well, knock on wood, at practice, that is great. That is great news for Dalton Kincaid not to have an injury designation. Not surprising. Played last week, played well, got through the week at practice, even though limited. Speaking of that, though, Shaq Thompson will be listed as questionable, but McDermott says he should be good to go. So you'll see him as questionable. Don't freak out. He should be good to go, right? Okay. We're good to go. Bills, Jags, Sunday, 1 p.m. All the talk is done. All the prep is done. The teams are ready. Saturday, tomorrow, by 4 p.m., you will get elevations from the practice squad for the Bills. That'll give you an indication of maybe where things stand with Matt Prater. A lot to be decided between now and then. And of course, a lot changes depending on what happens by about 4 p.m. on Sunday. We'll be here either way, hopefully back here with a reaction show on Monday. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next here on WGR Sports Radio 550.